eligible, along with other
Blog Talk Radio.
Today's the deadline for New York healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing homes to get at least one COVID shot or risk being fired. Noam Layden has more.
Nancy works at Staten Island University Hospital, and yeah, she got the shot, but she's not happy about it.
He was forced to take the shot. I chose to get the COVID shot because I need my job.
Others at the hospital say no way, no shot.
I'm not taking that vaccine. It's either a paycheck or my raise.
Hospitals and nursing homes have the right to fire workers beginning today if they're not vaccinated. Governor Hochul says out-of-state workers are ready to fill hospital holes when medical staff refuse the shot. Noam Layden, NBC News Radio, New York.
The DEA is warning about an alarming increase in the number of counterfeit pills laced with deadly fentanyl. DEA Administrator Ann Milgram tells the Today Show the fake pills are usually marketed as prescription drugs, but instead contain the synthetic opioid.
It's Russian roulette, but it's even more dangerous in one sense. In Russian roulette, people know that they're passing around a loaded gun. Here, you are talking about many people who think that they're actually buying oxycodone or they're buying Percocet.
This year, the agency has seized nearly 10 million fake pills laced with fentanyl. Brad Siegel, NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see a pretty much a cloudy and wet week. Clouds and rain on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees, definitely on the cooler side. Tonight, clouds and showers will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 53. Tuesday, much of the same. More showers expected. High temperatures around 59, 60.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150KKNW.com. That's 1150KKNW.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen.
Hi, I'm Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that focuses on helping you achieve the success that you desire. I'll share with you the tools and techniques, the stories and strategies, so you can have confidence, you can be empowered, you can overall have just the success that you've always desired in your life. I want to start with taking, maybe a step back in time. Think about March of 2020. How was it for you? You know, how did that really play out as the world shut down? I'll tell you how it went for me. I was at work, and we got to notice that Dallas County put out that everyone was supposed to stay home, unless they were supporting one of the 7 essential defined business infrastructure areas of the United States. It was kind of confusing in many ways when this notice went out. One, we didn't know exactly who was in Dallas County. While we have addresses for all of our employees, we don't necessarily know, you know, which county each county is, because there are county lines that, like, you know, break up cities sometimes. In addition, it was a little unclear of exactly the way that they said, unless supporting these various infrastructure areas, you know, defined by the federal government. So taking this confusing information, you know, everyone kind of got to work. One, we had a team of people trying to identify which of our employees were actually in Dallas County and which ones weren't, because our office wasn't in Dallas County. But our employees, if they were located in Dallas County, they had to follow the laws and the rules that were set out in Dallas County. And then we also had, you know, a team of people trying to identify, were we an essential business? What does this kind of legal term actually mean? In the end, it all really didn't matter, because in a couple of days, all of Texas said employees should stay home. Now, in the, we also were classified as an essential business because we develop power solutions for telecom. We make sure that the cell phones, you know, work, that they're, that phone systems work, data centers. A lot of the infrastructure that is really what we've relied on in the last year, very important in terms of to power that infrastructure. So clearly we were an essential business. So at least that part, you know, didn't matter. But there was just a lot of confusion. So I think back of it, you know, should we be in the office, should we not? My son had an extended spring break. School didn't know what to do. So they said, let's just take an extra week of spring break. That was my son in high school. My son in college, he came home from spring break. While he was home, college said, you know, don't come back. We're going to just have everything go online, except we had like 2 days notice to move him out of the dorms. So we had to rush back to college, get him moved out of the dorms, and have him back at home. All very unplanned. I'm sure it was this way in your own life. In addition to all this craziness and everyone trying to figure out what to go on, we did have work that we had to do. Employees had to come in, and there was a lot of concern, is it safe? A lot of people were scared. They didn't know just that coming into the office, were they putting their minds in danger? What could we do as leaders in the business to help keep everyone safe? We worked really hard and tried to do everything the best we could in a very unknown environment. Now think about that over the course of the last year. This went on. Everyone started to figure out, you know, how to work from home, how to work safely in the office, how do we protect ourselves with masks and various things. While some scientists work very hard on vaccinations, Zoom, team meetings, you know, all these things that we transitioned to and learned a new way of working that we just wouldn't have ever thought probably could be done on the scale that it was in the last year. But now we are a year later. People have modified their homes. We've set up home offices. Some people have moved. But people are aching to get, you know, back to normal. So kind of what's next? I know some companies have closed offices, and they just told people to just stay home. That way they're not paying for rent, and now we have a work-from-anywhere policy. Other companies are saying it's time to get back into the office. We're going to have people in the office full-time. Many are in the middle of this, or they're still figuring things out. There's a Gallup poll that just recently came out that I found that's interesting. And it said that workers in the U.S. are the most stressed out workers in the entire world. I don't think that would surprise most people to hear that. 57% of the workers in the U.S. say they experience stress on a daily basis. That's a huge amount, and it's up 8 percentage points. So while we might have transitioned and figured a lot of this stuff out to work remotely, obviously we have more stress than ever. And if you compare that with globally only 43% of people say they experience stress on a daily basis. And of course, it probably doesn't surprise you that more women experience stress on a daily basis than men. And a lot of this is attributed to helping to raise kids. Not everyone splits, you know, child caring equally. So 63% of women that are working say they experience stress on a daily basis versus 52% of men. But the interesting thing is the daily stress levels of working women in Europe in the last year have reportedly actually gone down. And this has contributed to the fact that there is more social programs in Europe. There's more support when people become unemployed. So there's probably less worry about the overall kind of social net that maybe isn't as strong, you know, in the U.S. So while all this is going on, the interesting thing is that employee engagement metric has actually dipped in the rest of the world. So in most of the world, they say employees are less engaged now. Because of the pandemic, because of everything that's going on in the last year, employees are less engaged at work. However, in the U.S., that the engagement has actually increased 34%. Now, that's crazy. You think about all the stress and everything that we're doing, they're actually saying engagement is higher, you know, than ever. But when you think about it, high engagement and high stress equals burnout. Like, there's no other way around it. And if you hear anything right now, there's a lot of stories around employee burnout, around, you know, the mental health of people. And so something has to give. And I think when we think about, you know, where we were a year ago, everything we've gone through, and then now we're in this kind of what's next stage, I think we have to think about, you know, the stress levels, the burnout, you know, what's right for companies, what's right for employees, what's best for you. So I'd like to discuss today kind of the pros of working in the office and the pros of working at home. Now, I like to do this. Now, you can make a pro and con list, you know, the plus and minuses, and a lot of people do like trade-offs, okay, things. I like to kind of take more, you know, a different look at things. Like, let's just say you were having an argument with somebody or constructive kind of criticism or just try to share your viewpoint. Sometimes I think it's a really good exercise to say, okay, could you argue the other side? If you were in someone else's shoes and made your case, you know, what would that look like? And so that's kind of what I'd like to do a little bit today. I'd like to talk about if you're going to work in the office, what's the pros of working in the office? And then we'll talk about what's the pros of working from home. And in addition to that, we're going to kind of talk at a high level. And I'm not going to go into the details on some types of people are better in like one situation or the other. Certain jobs are only able to be done in the office. Certain ones are more able to be done successfully at home, right? So we're not going to go into all those kind of details of one or another. We're going to talk more kind of in general. In addition, some people don't have a very good setup at home, right? So if you don't have, you're in like maybe a small apartment, you don't have a home office, there's a lot of noise at home where you don't have good internet. So we're not getting into some of that. Just kind of thinking in general, we're going to talk about kind of in the office versus at home. There was an interesting poll that came out from Gallup in April, and it said, working from home, employees have been working longer hours and more on the weekends. They're more likely to report loneliness, depression, anxiety than people that are working in person. 66% of people in this poll said they wanted to immediately go back into the office. But what's so confusing in this poll, even though 66% of people said they wanted to go back into the office, 84% said they enjoyed working from home. And it really doesn't make any sense, right? 84% of people said, hey, I'm glad I've been able to work from home. I enjoyed working from home. At the same time, they're saying they're lonely, that they're working more hours. So when we think about going back into the office, and should we go back into the office, and that part of, you know, several Facebook groups where people are talking about, hey, what's your company doing? Are you guys going back into the office? Several of the big tech companies, you know, initially said, hey, you can work from home, and now they're saying, oh, no, we want people back into the office, and then they're, oh, wait, maybe we'll go hybrid. Like, in some respects, a lot of people are still changing their minds and figuring this way out. but it's on top of a lot of people's minds. And it's no surprise it's confusing because there really isn't a known path forward, and there isn't one right answer. So what's the pros of working in the office? One of the first ones is time management is actually easier. So if you're not very self-disciplined, maybe working in an office setting is better for you. You have a time you're supposed to get to work. You have a time that most people leave the office. That doesn't mean that you have to leave, and some people work late, I realize that. But there kind of is a start and a stop. That if you're going in the office, most people don't do significant work from home. Now, granted, if you're working, like doing some calls with international teams, you might do them really early, so you might do some stuff from home. But for the most part, an office kind of has a more dedicated start and stop time. That's one of the things that maybe working from home, hey, you know, when do you end? When do you leave your home office and transition to doing things from home kind of thing? So time management can be easier when you're working in the office. With that, it's easier to set boundaries. It's easier to separate work and home. Some people working from home feel like they're always working. Like they never get to leave work because work is always kind of around them. When you actually like drive into work or you walk into work or take a bus or a train, you know, you have that transition. So it's easier to set that boundary. One of the things that I found early in the pandemic working from home, a lot of people, I guess they wanted to have a meeting at 7 o'clock. Like there was nothing going on in the world, right? Sports got canceled. All kid activities got canceled. Everyone was sitting at home. How do you say, I'm not going to attend that 7 o'clock meeting? Everyone would know you're at home. And granted, yes, you have kids. Maybe you're eating. There's a lot of things that you could be doing rather than have a meeting. But a lot of people had a hard time saying, no, I'm not going to attend that meeting because everyone pretty much knew you're at home. So it's much easier to set those boundaries when you're in the office. The third thing is it's easier to connect to one another. I think that's clear. When you can see people in person and you can chat while getting coffee, how was your weekend, you know, walk by people's office, say hello, it is just easier in general to connect. If you want to have that same level of connection when you're remote, you have to put that extra effort out. You have to really try a little bit harder. You have to maybe set up meetings or ping people on Teams or on Zoom. It's just a lot more effort, so a lot of times it doesn't happen. What do I think the big pros of working in the office as an engineer? It's easier to solve problems together. It's great to brainstorm at whiteboards and share ideas or sit at a circuit in a lab and try different tests and look at the instrumentation, you know, together and brainstorm. Yes, we can do some of that on video. There are tools that have gotten better, but I still don't think it's really to the same level of when you do problem solving together with people and do brainstorming in a room. One of the things most people don't think about when they're working in the office is there's just this unplanned communication and collaboration. You know, like maybe you hear something and like, oh, I could help somebody with that. Or it's that kind of that over here, or you would have never actually set up a meeting with somebody, but when you run into something or you see something on the whiteboard, you have a little conversation with somebody. And that's a big part of our culture. That's a big part of how we innovate. And that's why companies like Google is saying, hey, people need to be in the office because you can't plan for that. You just won't set up the time, or you can't set the time, so you didn't even know who to talk to. But when you overhear them talking, it's a different story. So with this, right, connecting with people, being able to brainstorm, just overall, it's easier to meet people and build kind of that community that we're so missing when we work from home. One thing that a lot of people don't think about, it's also easier to network with leaders. That, you know, they're in the office, they're getting coffee, riding the elevator, you know, whatever the things may be. I like to walk around and just walk through the labs. And if people are there, I can see them and visit with them. You don't get the same thing. I don't just like drop into other people's Teams meetings and Zoom calls, right? That's kind of impossible. but I might stop by a conference room and just say hello. So there's just this opportunity for more networking that's a little more in that unplanned area that you just don't get from home. You also will find most meetings can be more efficient when they're in person, that they're not as long, but a lot of it has to do with, you see, body language. People can communicate better. You don't have as many, you know, technical issues. So studies have shown when we are doing conference calls, the meetings run on average longer to get the same amount of work done as if everyone was in person and you could just have a short chat. I do think we can't leave out, though, that the advantage of working in the office, that not everyone has a good home setup. Like, I'm lucky. This is where, when I work from home, this is the same setup that I have. So I have a dedicated office, but not everybody does. Some people are working from their bed, exactly. So they have horrible setup to try to work on their laptop. Other people are working at their kitchen tables. And you don't discount that that's really hard for a lot of people to work. Another thing working in the office does is it drives more participation. It's easy to be in a meeting and not really paying attention. You're one of many people in these little video boxes, or maybe you're not even showing your video and it's just a picture. Versus when you're in the room, in the meeting, it's easier to make sure you're participating. And maybe when people are at home, you don't even know if they're participating. They could be multitasking. They could be doing 100 different things rather than paying attention to the meeting. So you just get that inefficiency when you have people that you don't, you get that efficiency driven from being together in the office versus the inefficiency of not really knowing what people are doing when they are remote. All of this really, I think, drives to help us drive innovation. When we're in the office, it's easier to have innovation. So Yahoo, several years ago, you know, they called all the remote workers back into the office. They said, if we want to be, you know, highly innovative and really, you know, drive the innovation to the next level, we can't have everyone work remotely. You can't build the culture. You can't communicate fast enough. You can't work together. So they actually called everyone home. It will be really interesting to see over time how the big companies do it. Google, right, used to spend a ton of money on perks to get people in the office, to get them working together, to have them collaborate outside of even just doing their work, but to get to know each other, to spend as much time as possible together. And they are a very innovative company. They've driven a lot of innovation. So if, you know, being in the office, being in person, if FaceTime wasn't so important, you know, why do people want to travel so much to other sites? You know, why is there so much business travel? I believe it's very important. A lot of businesses think it's important. So a lot of people and a lot of companies are saying it's time to get back into the office. Now let's talk about some pros of working from home. I think the first one that is probably one of the biggest ones, there's no commute. So if you have a long commute and you're working from home, if you normally have a long commute working in the office, but now you're working from home, like you can save that time. That time can be getting more done at work, or that time can be personal time that you do things like exercise or do some reading or some self-care or things that you need to take care of personally. I think that's probably the biggest advantage that most people kind of fell in love with working from home. And if you not, time is probably the biggest one, but in addition to time, you have less money spent on gas, you know, less wear and tear on your car. So I think the commute is probably the biggest thing that advantage people have when they are working from home. The second one, you can do some multitasking. You know, when you have a break, you can throw a load of laundry in. You can, I want to think about getting some food out of the freezer to defrost for supper, so you can run to the freezer and get that out. I'm not saying that you should do lots of things at home, but, you know, when you need to have a 10-minute break, you can do a couple things and multitask, and there's a huge advantage to that. I can walk out and, you know, meet my son's boss when he came home from school. It's a great thing to be able to do those type of things, and a lot of people value that now. Some jobs, you know, it's too noisy in the office. So a huge benefit of working from home is it's quieter and people can focus more. Especially maybe people that are writing code or like research, people that are really trying to, you know, do hardcore thinking, you can find it's quieter and there's less disruptions working at home, or potentially could be, as long as you're kind of managing your schedule and your computer and your chatting and all that kind of thing. And those are huge advantages. There are some jobs that it is more beneficial to have that block of quiet time, especially if like you're in the office and maybe you sit next to a conference room where a lot of people are talking, either in the conference room or outside the conference room, you know, either before or after a meeting. And so there can be a lot of a benefit to being in a quieter environment. Even at home, sometimes take productive breaks. Like maybe if you have a break, you could take a walk around the neighborhood. You know, you can find ways to use that, those times that you have in your day incredibly productive that you can't do when you're in the office. Okay, now you have a break. Maybe you're still going to fill that break with something, but maybe it's not the most productive way that you would like to be doing it elsewhere. Another pro of working from home is you have a wider talent pool that you can hire into jobs. You don't want to have to find are people, you know, willing to relocate. And so sometimes you can raise the talent of your team by offering remote work opportunities. Now, then you have to worry about onboarding them and various things like that. But it does give you a bigger opportunity when you are looking to hire for your teams. Most people will say when they're working from home, they have better work-life balance. You know, they kind of pick their hours. Like, not everyone is like an 8-to-5 type of person. Maybe some people would like to start a little bit later. And then kind of take a break around noon and then pick up and work more in the evening. When you work from home, sometimes you can do that. Now, sometimes you can't because you have meetings that are scheduled at work, but if you have at least that core work that you need to do just yourself, maybe you have more flexibility in the day and you can line up your work, you know, optimally when you naturally are better to it. I'm a morning person, so I like to get up, you know, and get started and but some people aren't. And the last thing, I think, when you can work from home, there's more availability from a family standpoint. You know, if you have kids or maybe a parent that lives with you and they need some extra help. So you can't discount, you know, kind of that ability to have these, you know, extra time just with your family and be able to take care of kind of your whole life. So if you are working from home, I'll tell you, make sure that you're comfortable using video because that allows you to maintain at least some of the connection and the things that are pros when you work in the office. Make sure you get ready each day. You know, don't put off and say, oh, I don't need a shower or I can just wear, t-shirts and things like that. But get ready. You know, start the day. Kind of have that time bound that, hey, I'm actually working. And make sure that you set up time that you can stay connected. And so even though you're not naturally having those interactions with people in the office, you want to make sure that you have that time. So schedule some one-on-ones, schedule some short chats, and you can make being at home just as productive as people that are in the office. So I don't know which one is better. I think this is an experiment. We're going to continue on should we be at home or should we be in the office. And so the jury's still out, and we'll kind of see where it goes. I hope that this helps you, though, as you're thinking about if you're going to be in the office or working from home as you go forward. If you've enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to subscribe so that way you get noticed when the next episode comes out. Check me out on my website, CourageSpeaking.com. You'll find all my contact information there, my coaching program. And I'd love to get feedback and hear what topics that you would like to hear me talk about on future shows. So until then, I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye.
Much for joining me today.
I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out CourageToBeSeen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources, including you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life. Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Maine, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. I'm so glad to have you along. Damayanti means peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the wisdom that shines in the universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Join me now on Damayanti, the show for your soul, and be inspired and uplifted by the beautiful light of this profound, timeless wisdom. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Damayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sarah Maine. I'm your host, and it's wonderful to have you along, soul family. Welcome. Damayanti is a show that is designed to talk about your soul, everything to do with connection with your soul, with yourself. It's your true divinity, your true power. We use the word soul, the best. It's a word that we can use. You could talk about spirit. But soul has an immediate connection to the inner essence of yourself. And today I thought we would talk about a time to be strong and confident. A time to be strong and confident. I think there's enough movement in the energy around the world. There are challenges, no doubt. And strength and confidence and firmness, and indeed an element of discipline, are very much needed. Certainly love and understanding and patience. But this area of inner strength and inner discipline is not always spoken about and understood. And my approach, and it was how I was taught, was to go back to the wisdom of the ages, go back to the wisdom traditions, and very specifically go back to the universal beautiful language of Sanskrit. Why Sanskrit? You think, huh? Well, Sanskrit is the universal language. It is a universal language. It is the universal language. And within the language itself is incredible wisdom. And the way I was taught was to go back to the Sanskrit, and it clarifies your thinking. It highlights where you have limited thinking, because this limited thinking is what we act upon. Words have, language has power, it has energy, it's creative. We think thoughts in words, typically, often pictures, but there are words behind those pictures, we just may not be aware of them. And then we act on that, and our feelings come from that. So language is creative. And I was taught to go back to the Sanskrit, and then clarify and purify your thinking. It's like getting your thinking, your language, and putting it through a washing machine cycle. And in the light of the universal wisdom in Sanskrit, you can see where there are limits that act as filters. And this is actually an incredibly powerful way to set yourself free. It sounds like it's an intellectual exercise, but it isn't. And it's a way of disciplining the mind. And the mind needs discipline. It acts as a monkey mind. It's all over the place. And there's plenty of teachings on this. But how to bring it to heal, how to discipline it so it can stay in one place, that's a different conversation. And it does take discipline. It takes practice. And this is very rewarding practice, because as
you practice and you meet any challenges and overcome them, you become more empowered, you become stronger, you become more confident, you become firmer. And then you're not so moved by changing conditions and challenges. And that may be in your personal life or in the wider society and around the world. And this is very important. So today I thought I would take the theme of firmness and strength and go back to the Sanskrit first and foremost. Now, in Sanskrit, the word for firm and strong, firmness, is dṛṢha. And dṛṢha means fixed and firm and strong and stable and massive and firmly fastened on and whole and complete, difficult to be bent, steady, resolute, persevering. That's an element of firmness, to be certain, to be sure, to be mighty. They're all descriptors of dṛṢha, firmness and strength. And it's different, it has a sort of a different element from Sanskrit balam. This is just the essence of firmness. And Sanskrit always comes from a root form, so that word dṛṢha comes from a root to mean to be firm, to make firm, to fix, to strengthen, and to be strong. And then there's a great teacher that opened up, Panini, opened up how to find out where to experience that firmness and that strength. And Panini taught us where to look. And he said that in being firm, you'll find that firmness, that energy of firmness, in growing and increasing. So in growing and increasing, you will find firmness, the essence of firmness. Get your thinking around that for a minute. In growing and increasing, you'll find firmness. So it doesn't mean becoming rigid. In growing and increasing. So in that growth and increase, there's strength. And when you think about that, if you want to be confident, often you pull yourself up, you take a deep breath, you roll your shoulders down, you stand up tall in growing and increasing. So in the wisdom of the ages, we're already being told where that confidence lies, where that strength, where that firmness lies. So when we find challenges where we need to hold firm, we need to persevere, the first thing to think of is rather than, hunkering down and drawing in, we need to pull ourselves up to our full stature, take a deep breath, head up, eyes open, looking out, for example. That's number one in terms of finding that confidence and that strength and that firmness that we're looking for. And at the moment, we really need it in the world. We need this strength. And the thing is, the strength is not coming from anger necessarily. It can be coming from love, that strength that comes from real love, universal love, prema. And we draw ourselves up in love for the truth and the purity and the beauty in ourselves and in everyone. We draw ourselves up and we want to offer that. And that's, I'm just drawing out wisdom that's in the very Sanskrit itself, and it tells us how to find strength, where to find strength, and it's in this growth and increase. And in fact, Plato, the Greek, ancient Greek philosopher, Socrates, he used the example, he asks in one of his dialogues to someone, how do you shorten the line without rubbing part of the line out? And through various backwards and forwards in the dialogue, he said, you draw along the line. And in drawing that longer line, immediately that line is shortened and you haven't rubbed any part of that line out. So this growth and increase is drawing along the line. So when you come to speak, draw that longer line by aiming for the higher frequency, the positivity, the encouragement, the uplift. To uplift spirit is to draw a longer line, is to pick something higher, speak about something higher, value something higher and greater. This is an expression of love. This is an expression of pure universal love, to always go for the uplifting speech, the praise, the encouragement, and to have nothing to do with anything that will pull you down. And there's incredible strength in that. And that is a great discipline to go about in your daily life, is this always choosing the higher, that which is worth praising, and not focusing in on things that pull us down and reduce us to something small. Because in that smallness, it's weak. And we need strength. We need a lot of strength. And in my experience, I have found that getting centered in myself, in my soul, in that power of peace within, no matter what's going on, and then always looking for the greater, the finer, the larger perspective, and offering that which will uplift and encourage and inspire. There's great discipline and strength required to keep doing that and to keep offering that. And I would encourage you that is the direction we need to take. And after we take a short break coming up, we're going to talk about how we do this. But that is the approach to take. We want strength. We're interested in strength. We're interested in firmness. We're interested in perseverance, in being steady, being resolute, and in a sense, being whole and complete. Well, not really in a sense, actually being whole and complete. And that is coming back to our soul, because that's where our wholeness and our completeness is. So that is the message that I wanted to pass on today, straight from the Sanskrit. And Dhamma Yanti, the show feels, I always like to come back to the Sanskrit, because this is the universal wisdom. And Sanskrit, Sanskrita, means pure and perfectly formed. And you notice the wisdom is always pure and perfectly formed. You can resonate with it and go, yes, that's true. Yes, I understand that. And firmness, we find that firmness in growth and increase and in prosperity. And that starts from within. So firmness doesn't mean being rigid and hard. It means growing taller and stronger and greater and increasing, discovering our greatness, our limitlessness, as the great wisdom teachings and scriptures would say. And that's where we find our strength. So we're going to take a break and then we'll come back about how to find that practically in our day-to-day life. We'll see you soon.
Time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. These intuitive healers studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Welcome back to Dhamma Yanti, the show for your soul. And today we're talking about it's the time for strength and courage and strength and firmness, to be firm and strong. It's so important in today's world. There are so many challenges and the energy is not always that easy to navigate on a day-to-day basis. And the strength and perseverance comes from within, and the wisdom of the ages, the universal wisdom in the beautiful language of Sanskrit, tells us with the word dridha, which means strong and firm and resolute, and it really means firm, but firm as in you're not going to be moved. It doesn't mean rigid, it means firm. That's it, I've decided. And the wisdom indicates that strength comes from growth and increase. And before the break, I was talking about if we want to be confident often and find that courage, we take a deep breath and we often pull ourselves up, physically roll our shoulders back, stand up tall, look out, and we find great strength and strong energy in that very physical act of pulling ourselves up. And that is a real simple indicator right under our noses in that very physical act of how to find that strength, which is growth and increase. Now, what I'm suggesting and what I'm showing you and talking about is that apart from that physical act, always finding that greater, more uplifting, more inspiring energy to think about, to speak about, to put your attention on. So coming back to yourself, the greatness of yourself within, and then pulling yourself up, standing tall within, and that you'll find your physical body reacting and responding to that and wanting to sit up straight, wanting to stand up straight, wanting to lift your head high, looking out, and you'll find such confident energy in that. And then looking to the higher, looking to the inspiration, looking to the inspiring, uplifting things to talk about and think about, and offer to the world, offer to those with whom you live and work, to your loved ones, to your kids, to your partner, to your spouse, to your family, to your friends. Always speaking about the best. Choose the best to talk about, because this is how we connect soul to soul. This is the real point of unity, is soul to soul, because there is only one, actually. But we find that in that connection beyond the physical, beyond the mental, and in fact beyond the emotional, because all those elements come and go. Physical bodies come and go. They're growing and changing all the time. The mind is moving all the time, and things are coming and going. The emotions are coming and going. It's the nature of them. They're in motion. They can be calmer, so that in fact it's like water on a lake and it's steady, or it can be choppy. It depends, you know. But the soul is ever present. It's our divinity. It's the powerhouse, really. It can be called spirit. I just connect with the word soul. And that is the point where speaking from soul to soul, and speaking of that which inspires and uplifts, is drawing that longer line, as Plato indicated. That is the growth and increase. That is where the strength is. So in day-to-day life, I would suggest one very simple practice, one simple discipline that you can undertake is at least 3 times a day, but take it to, all right, I'll be kind, but 2 to 3 times a day, and you can manage twice, morning and afternoon, one time in the day, one time in the evening, or even 3 times, breakfast, lunch and dinner time. Deliberately, consciously choose something uplifting, inspiring, full of praise when you speak to someone else. And if you're on your own, then speak it out aloud, something uplifting and full of praise. Give gratitude, but do it consciously. And no matter what's going on, find something to praise, something to uplift whomever you're with or if you're on your own, speak to yourself. Give thanks. And I suggest out aloud. There's always something to praise. There's always something to give your voice to. I was taught to give your tongue to that which uplifts, that which inspires. This is drawing along the line. Because we are universal. We are limitless. That's what the universal wisdoms are talking about, the wisdom of the ages, the scriptures. They're always speaking about our limitless nature, and certainly in Sanskrit, and that's one thing I love about Sanskrit. It reminds me all the time of our limitless nature, our universality. No matter what's happening, we are universal, limitless beings. When I started writing my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, I started writing the introduction, and I had this blank screen, like a blank piece of paper in front of me, and I knew it was important, that very first statement, because that's like the sounding, the founding sound, the do of the octave of writing the book. And I fell still, and I thought, what was, and I was immediately taken back to one of my teachers who always started, he said, from the absolute, from the universal, from the limitless, always start there. And so that's where I started with, which is, you are in fact a universal, limitless being, right here, right now. And that's true. That's always true. No matter what's happening to you, what's happening around you, how you're feeling, you are limitless and universal. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that. I hear you. I understand that. So that's what Dridha, being firm and strong and confident, is all about. Being firm and certain in the fact that you are universal, no matter how you're feeling at the time, what's happening. Being able to draw yourself up and draw that longer line, as Plato suggests. And one way is to get into the habit at least 2 to 3 times a day, consciously give your voice, consciously speak of something that is uplifting. And praise and gratitude are two wonderful ways to do that. Because praise will never run anyone down. It's the nature of it. So find something to praise about that person or the situation or something and give your voice to that. In a very simple way, to give your voice to that, get that sound out, get that energy out, align with that positivity. And gratitude is another amazingly transformational energy. So come back to your center and give praise. No matter what is happening, praise and gratitude are wonderful ways to find that firmness and that strength through growth and increase and upliftment and positivity. And that connects you to your soul, to the greatness of your soul. And on that note, if you would like to find out more about Damayanti for your soul, you can go to my website, damayanti.store, that's D-A-M-A-Y-A-N-T-I, damayanti.store, S-T-O-R-E, damayanti.store. And there's information there, and you can find out more about me. You can find more about the Sanskrit and why, what's the why behind Damayanti. And also, I have a store there with some lovely products that all have Sanskrit messages on them. I deliberately chose these products with Sanskrit messages, with the message of prema, pure universal love, with shakti, the divine energy, and prana, the breath of life, which is our powerhouse, our life source, our life force. So prema, there's a collection of prema products, there's a collection of shakti products, and there's a collection of prana products. There's jewelry, there's some homewares, and there's also clothing as well, and they've all got Sanskrit on them and designs, and The importance of this is it keeps you in memory. These are things you can use every day and wear the jewelry. You can keep with you. And it helps you stay in this uplifted, inspired energy of positivity and connection to universal soul energy and help you stay aligned. And they're attractive and useful and nice to have, but they do help you stay aligned. And when I, early on in my spiritual soul journey, this is decades ago, 50 years ago, there was nothing. There was nothing like this. You know, eventually when post-it notes came on the market, I used post-it notes and put them everywhere to help stay in memory. That was my discipline, just because I wanted to stay awake and stay in memory. So now you can have a travel drinking cup with Shakti on it. You can have a cushion cover. You know, on your couch when you're sitting there, you can wear a beautiful piece of jewelry and it can have prema on it to remind you of pure universal love. And they make great gifts too. Give something of real meaning with a spiritual meaning that means something to you from one soul to another. And you can use these as wonderful gifts. And with the holiday season soon to be upon us, they'll make great gifts. So go to my store, damayanti.store. You can see more about Damayanti, and there's also a whole archive of podcasts to listen to that's on the podcast page, and you can go to the store and there's great gifts for yourself and for others with beautiful spiritual meanings of prema, shakti and prana, and more to come. And I'm very excited that on my next show this month I have a very special guest, Zayla. And Zayla's going to be talking about discipline, and your disciplines will set you free, and they're linked with love and courage. So Zayla is a special guest on the Dr. Pat Show, and he's very kindly offered to come on to my show as well and talk about discipline and love and courage, the aspects of it. So I'm very excited. So join me on that show and hear Zayla. And I wanted to speak and sing to you the peace prayer from the Yajur Waiter to finish. In heaven, peace, peace in the space between, on earth, peace, on the waters, peace, in plants, peace, in trees, peace, peace in all powers, in spirit, peace, peace in everything, peace alone, peace, 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 peace. And the Sanskrit? Om Dhyau Shanti, Antariksham Shanti, Prithivi Shanti, Apa Shanti, Oshadhaya Shanti, Vanaspataya Shanti, Vishwe Deva Shanti, Brahma Shanti, Sarvam Shanti, Shanti Reva Shanti, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thank you for spending time with me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Damayanti or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, damayanti.store. That's damayanti.store. Damayanti.store. See you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday morning to you, Benny Nasser. Here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Started things off over, looks like on I-5 northbound, just north of Marine View Drive, around Mount Hope 196. A recent incident, partially blocking the right-hand of the lane. Good thing, no instant response team, fire assistance, as they still have all arrived on scene, and they are taking care of the situation.
And
NBC News Radio, I'm Brad Spiegel. President Biden has received a Pfizer booster shot. He did so on camera during an event at the White House.
Like I did in my first and second COVID-19 vaccination shot, I'm about to get my booster shot and do it publicly.
Pfizer boosters were authorized last week, and the White House is making a big push to encourage Americans to get the shots before rolling up his sleeve. The president said the boosters are safe and effective, and he said First Lady Jill Biden will get hers soon. Mayor Bill de Blasio expects to prevail in court when it comes to the coronavirus vaccine mandate for New York City teachers.
We expect, as early as the end of this week, that we'll be going to the full vaccine mandate, but of course, we will go through the whole court process.
A judge blocked the mandate that was supposed to go into effect today, and a lawsuit against it will be heard Wednesday. Attorneys representing teachers argue they're the only municipal workers in the city being forced to get the vaccine. Police are scaling back the search for Brian Laundrie in a Southwest Florida nature preserve. Rick Hochul reports.
Northport police spokesman Josh Taylor is telling media outlets the FBI is taking the lead in the hunt for Gabby Petito's fiancé, adding the search will be targeted based on intelligence. Dozens of officers have been scouring the 25,000-acre Carlton Reserve for Laundrie after Petito turned up missing and was eventually found dead of a homicide in Wyoming. Laundrie is a person of interest in Petito's disappearance and is the subject of a federal warrant for debit card fraud. I'm Rick Hochul.
The man who shot President Reagan 40 years ago is winning back his eventual freedom. A judge approved John Hinckley's unconditional release next year. It's scheduled to happen in June, but he'll continue to be monitored until then. The shooting that wounded Reagan happened in 1981 outside a hotel in the nation's capital. Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity and has had restrictions on him gradually lifted over the last number of years. Brad Spiegel, NBC News Radio.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
Don't you just love the smell of old books?
This is a library.
Sorry, ma'am. We're looking for a book titled Liberty Mutual Customizes Your Car Insurance So You Only Pay for What You Need.
I don't think we carry that, but just nonfiction.
It really does devour literature.
Please leave.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see a pretty much a cloudy and wet week. Clouds and rain on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees. Definitely on the cooler side. Tonight, clouds and showers will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 63. Tuesday, much of the same. More showers expected. High temperatures around 59, 60.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Oh, my gosh, Nancy Landrum and I were just chatting before the break. Benny had to just, so as he always does, politely step in and say, hey, ladies, I hate to interrupt you, but we got to get going. And the reason that I love Benny doing that is because Benny knows me long enough and well enough to know that once I get going on a topic, I'm just like off. I'm like off to the races. And this topic in particular you're going to hear about, Nancy Lantern's joining me here today, one of the premier relationship coaches, one of the premier relationship trainers. And I'm so very blessed to have her on the show because, you know, today we're going to talk about what people don't talk about. Exactly how do you talk without fighting? Exactly how do you talk without fighting? And, you know, we're going to talk about what that means, like talk, like communicate without fighting. Now, this is an interesting journey for me, but before I get to that, I want to tell all of you a little bit more. So if you've watched the shows we've been doing together or you've read any of Nancy's books, How to Stay Married and Love It, Solving the Puzzle of a Soulmate Marriage, whatever it is you've heard us talk about and whatever you know about her work, you'll know one thing, and that is she brings forward a just beautiful array of knowledge, learning, studying, and lifetime experiences. And when you put that together, what you find is a person that is speaking with you because she knows. She knows what you're talking about and she knows what you're going through. But this particular topic, Nancy, today, exactly how do you or how do you talk without fighting? If we had more conversations about this or role models about this, boy, I'll tell you, how many generations of children can we actually heal?
I am convinced that we could heal the world if we all learned these skills. years ago in the mid-80s when Jim and I were fighting, we wanted to stop fighting. We didn't like hurting each other. And yet the more frustrated we got because neither of us were hearing the other, each of us were sure, you know, my point of view is right, you're wrong, let me convince you. It got to the point where we were in so much pain that I remember Jim saying, I will do anything if someone would just tell me how to do this. You know, how can we resolve this without tearing each other apart with our words? It never got physical with us, but our words became more and more vicious the more frustrated we became. We diligently looked for help. And I'm sorry to say that of all the therapists we went to, the classes we went to, the books we read, nothing really gave us the specific guidelines for how do you speak your own point of view in a respectful way that makes it easier for your partner to hear. And up until then, I just assumed that Jim was kind of dense because he couldn't understand what I was saying. But the truth is, I was delivering my message in a way that guaranteed he could not hear me. He would only react defensively and the argument would escalate. So when we finally got the help we needed in just learning how do we say things without attacking each other, how do I tell Jim my point of view without telling him he's wrong? And how do I listen to him in a way that gives him the reassurance that I genuinely want to understand his point of view? So once we got these skills down, they transformed our marriage. And I think we worked pretty intensely at it for about 6 months with a coach that we found. But after that, we never had another fight. We never even had another harsh word between us. And it wasn't that all the challenges of life magically disappeared. You know, we had challenges, but we never attacked each other again, verbally or in any other way.
This is so critical. Let me just ask you this question, because this is critical, and this is where can I be the one that says misconception number one, number two? Can I talk about misconception number one? When I express my feelings, it isn't always anger. And, you know, let's talk for a minute, because you're going to keep talking about this with your life experiences, but also what you learned, is not every bit of feedback is angry feedback.
Right.
But if you can't hear it, you hear every bit of feedback is like you're blaming me. I mean, you don't even get the feedback out before you're like, wait a minute, are you saying I did something wrong? I mean, right, can you hear it, Nancy? Can you hear it? All right, continue. You know where I'm going, right?
Well, one of the first skills I teach couples that work with me is the skill of perception checking. So if I perceive that you're attacking me, rather than fighting back, I can say, you know, my perception is that you're telling me I'm wrong, that you're attacking me. Is that true? And if it's not true, then say, no, I'm only presenting, I'm trying to share with you my point of view. So let me hear your point of view. And if you can clarify the misconceptions, I've had so many couples tell me that if perception checking was the only skill they learned, it would stop most of their fights. Because we make up stories in our head about what the meaning is behind what someone else is saying. And quite often we're wrong.
You know, this is really interesting, and I want to talk with you about this because there are a couple of points that we have to drive home. I did a show last week on respect only because I had watched the movie, Respect, the story of Aretha Franklin, and I did not really understand the impact of that in her life. And, you know, one of the things I was doing in getting ready for the show is how important that particular word is. And I think I've shared this with you. I mean, you know, in my doctoral studies, literally when I added respect as an element to it, my committee looked at me like, how is that even a thing? Like, why are you? And I said, look, I don't know about you in the academic world, but I'll tell you, the people that I'm talking to, I will take this out of the study if the results come back at any less than 95% picking this as number one.
Yes.
Take it out. I'll take it out of the study. But please let me ask the question. And I did. And 98% of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people said that I don't care what it is, the relationship I'm in, my boss, my partner, my mom, my dad, my children, they are obligated. See, this is the difference between an expectation and a promise. They said obligated. 98% respect was number one.
Yes.
And yet it is so subjective.
Well, you know, I think I might argue with you on that point.
I love when you do that.
I think there's a black and white line down the middle of every relationship. And on one side are all the respectful words, tones of voice, facial expression, body language. And on the other side of the line are all the disrespectful ways of speaking, not listening, body language, tone of voice. The more time a relationship spends on the disrespectful side of the line, the more unhappy they'll be with each other and the more unhappy they'll be with themselves. Because I honestly believe that at our core, none of us enjoy being mean and disrespectful to another human being. The more time the relationship spends on the respectful side of the line, the happier they're going to be with the relationship, the more self-respect they will have, and the easier it will be to resolve differences in ways that meet both persons' needs. I mean, this is the core of what I teach.
Yeah.
So it isn't subtle for me.
And that's why we're talking about it today, because I think it is one of the major underpinnings of the answer to exactly how do you talk without fighting. I think it's like the thing. I think it's like I don't know what to call it. Like, I think it's like this invisible energy life force, right? And Nancy, if you talk about this for a minute, I think it's important because you already mentioned it. You mentioned it, verbal, body language. And one of the things that I had to learn about myself and the fact that I talk a lot with my hands. I'm really animated. I do that less in the workplace now because I understand what growing up in my family and this stuff and this and like this and, you know, just that doesn't work all the time. But there are communication methods, and I don't think we are aware of what they are. Can we talk about the different levels of this that show disrespect? Because I'll tell you, I walked into a room to, you know, talk to somebody about two weeks ago, slouched down in the chair, never looked up. This wasn't one of my mentees. It would have been like, I can't imagine anybody, if I did that in the workplace, right? But this was one of my mentees, and I knew her. She was at such a point of pain.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how these things show up in a relationship? I'm not saying like you and Jim did this. Like, I'm not saying that at all.
That's a laugh. We did a lot of them. There's actually a list of very common communication methods that are all disrespectful on the homepage of my website. You can go to nancylandrum.com and download the free giveaway. And it not only includes a list of all the disrespectful ways, but also the ways to learn how to speak respectfully, communicate respectfully. What I tell couples that I coach is it's not your fault that you don't know how to do this. If you'd had families where healthy, respectful communication was the norm, then that's how you would have learned, you know, to communicate respectfully. But our culture doesn't teach us how to communicate respectfully. The movies are bad. The sitcoms are horrible. Even cartoons for children are often full of disrespect. I call respect the medium in which love grows.
Yeah.
And love will die eventually if there isn't mutual respect in the relationship. So you have to have respect in order to grow a healthy relationship and make it loving and lasting.
Yeah.
Without respect, when the more disrespect there is, the less love there will be over time. And sometimes, you know, that happens pretty fast.
Yeah, you think? I mean, it happened so fast. Let's just talk about a couple of things that you just mentioned. If I could just jump in and ask you to comment on them.
Yes.
Comment. Oh, Nancy, Danny, Jamie, just too sensitive. How often do we either hear that or if we don't hear the word, I love when people are that direct with me. Because then I could check myself and say, oh, my gosh, you're right. I am being a little bit too sensitive about this. But there are things we say completely negate the other. Is that a disrespectful act?
Or the way we say it.
Oh, yeah.
So I heard an illustration yesterday of a man. It was actually, I was helping to coach a class online, and they were using this as an example. A man used words that were respectful, but his tone of voice and his eye rolling put a different connotation on the words that made it feel disrespectful.
Yeah.
So body, you know, as you know from your education, you know that body language and facial expression are a huge percentage of whatever we communicate.
Yeah.
So yes, I might be sensitive to someone speaking, in an impatient tone of voice to me. But the impatient tone of voice might also need to be tempered somewhat with a little more compassion or gentleness, I guess.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's a lifelong lesson. Let me just say why. I am very blessed that I grew up on the East Coast, and I also had a stepmom from the Deep South. What's the blessing in that? My stepmom helped me temper some of that. And this is not a downplay on the East Coast. There is a level by which the pace in New York City, you cannot describe the pace unless you live there. So I will never talk down, you know, to my childhood, my life in New York and in New Jersey, because there's a pace that is indescribable. The antithesis of that is when you go to Hawaii. And you have to require, both scenarios require the same level of patience, right?
Right.
One is New York City, you go to get your coffee. If you're not going to go to Starbucks, you're going to go to the regular coffee guy, like the Subway comes in, the coffee person's there. He has basically, you get two kinds of coffee, black or regular.
Uh-huh.
Black is black. Regular has about three big scoops of sugar in it with milk. That's the option. It sits on the counter. You leave your money. You grab it as you walk. Now, you grow up with that, and if you don't know, there's anything different.
Right.
But I was fortunate. I met Linda's parents. I learned there was something different.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question. Many people say this. I've had this said to me more times than not. You know, I'm just who I am, Nancy. I'm telling you, I'm like an old pair of shoes. They're worn, but they still fit, and I don't know that I can change. Now, I have to tell you that I have learned for myself that I'm a work in progress. I'm still learning. But if we don't learn to change, we will be very lonely.
I have middle-aged couples, you know, that have been married for more than 20 years, but they come because they want to experience better communication, less fighting between them. They want to learn how to have a better relationship, and they learn. You know, I don't think age necessarily matters. It's mindset. Am I willing to learn? Am I willing to take my life experience and say, this could be better, and I'm willing to do what I need to do to make it better? So I love the young couples that come, because I can see they have hopefully years ahead of them where they can experience the benefit of what they're learning about communication. But I love even more the middle-aged couples who say, something isn't right here, and we need help to correct it.
Yeah. You know, Benny's got a clip. I asked him to get this clip, and I'm going to go ahead and skip this break because I want to talk a little bit more, and I want to bring this to the forefront. I've worked for bosses that have pounded on the table in front of you, big men, right? Thank goodness I had the boxing gloves given to me when I was five by my uncles. And then I had three of my mentors, which I've talked a lot about. And somebody heard me say this the other day. I had three important mentors later on in my career, and they all happened to be African-American. But, you know, does that even matter? No, it doesn't matter. Bob Davis, Carlton Brown, and Mary Lou Smith. And you could never walk in Mary Louise Smith's room back in the day when you could smoke yourself to death in the office, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But you could never walk in her room and bring her a problem. And even if you did, she would let you go on. And then she would look you in the eyes and say, now, Pat, what part of the problem are you?
Oh, well.
And I learned a lesson from that. And I don't know how to explain the lesson, but I had a chronic symptom back in the day of it's not my responsibility, it's not my fault. And this woman, in the short tenure I had with her, transformed my personality.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even consider that disrespectful, and those are tough words to hear. Can you help me understand? Sometimes we get tough words, or we hear tough things, or we get asked tough questions. Now, I tell you, she did this with a big old fat smile, right?
It was because she was in the position of mentoring you.
Yeah.
So it was her job to give you accurate feedback. I believe I say some very tough things as a coach. They're paying me to coach them. I would be falling down on the job if I neglected to deliver the tough messages. I've told couples, you're wasting your time here. You know, if you're not willing to do the homework, if you're not willing to practice the skills, you're wasting my time and yours. So if you come back next week, I want to see a different attitude and a different level of commitment, or I don't want to see you again.
Mm.
And, you know, I've delivered that message because that's my job. Now, if someone that doesn't have a position of authority over me starts giving me advice that I didn't ask for, that is disrespectful.
There you go. And let's talk about this. First of all, these are communication methods. We've got a whole show of this. I'm really going to try to skip some of the breaks because there's so much for you to unpack. But I wanted to know, every time we have a show, you have tools, you have resource, you have communications. Can you tell us how we can find out more about this and more about you? Because if there was ever a time that your skill sets are needed, it is now, and I mean across the board. I'm not just talking families and relationships. I'm talking the pressure and the stress in the workplace right now is bringing people that normally are not disrespectful to the brink of it. How do people find out how to work with you?
How about government leaders?
Oh, I don't even want to think. Can we do another show on that? Can we just do a whole show?
No,
I'd love to do a whole show
on
that.
Human beings that need the same skills that we all need. So go to nancylandrum.com. The Landrum is L-A-N-D-R-U-M, N-A-N-C-Y, Landrum.com. And you can email me from that website. You can call me. My business phone number is on that website. There's several free downloads. There's an informational video you can watch on the homepage. So all the, you know, all the access to me, there's a whole page of books that I've written on various aspects. The first book I wrote was specifically to married couples because that's where Jim and I were, and that was where we wanted to make the biggest difference to help other married couples find the joy in their relationship that they thought they were getting when they got married. But there's another series of books called Love Potions for Healthy Relationships where I teach the same skills, but they're applicable in any relationship. So I use examples of parents and children and boss and employee and friend to friend using the same skills that Jim and I, that transformed our marriage. There is a book called Pungent Boundaries that's about learning to set healthy boundaries. So you're not just taking care of, you're not spending all your energy taking care of someone else. You're also taking care of yourself. And then the most recent book is Your Inner Child, A Path to Healing and Freedom, which is a deeper take on how do I take good care of myself? How do I love myself in a way that is appropriate and healing to perhaps past wounds? Anyway, there's a lot of resources on that website.
Before we go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the how to speak. We've been talking about it all along, but there are ways to do the how to. Now, Benny's going to play a clip during the break, and I want to tell you a little bit about the clip.
Okay.
It's a really cool little clip of a little boy whose mom's name is apparently Linda. And Jessica found this. So Jessica, myself, and Linda, we are continually improving. And every time I do a show with you, we bring something new in our communication. But this particular clip, it became a talking point for the three of us to pay more attention to what you teach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little clip, and it happens to be Linda and Linda's name.
Uh-huh.
But it really became a cornerstone for us really looking at what you're bringing forward. No interruptions, right?
Yes.
Show up for meetings on time.
Yes.
If I feel you're being a little snippy, I need to say, like, ouch, and then you could either dismiss me or go. I mean, there's so many things we picked up from your work. But we had to approach it, I guess, the three of us, with this little humorous bit.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't always work, but it perfectly fit us. Let's take a short break, and I think Benny's going to play it. Jamie, you'll have to get the video part of it. When we come back, what is the three-word rule?
Okay.
And what is it about saying something like, feel when you do that? That's not exactly what Nancy teaches. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
And then I can't call his voice.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Listen.
Okay, what?
Like everything that you do at this house, it can touch everything at Bella's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Because I'm not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
But listen to me. Make it. If we do something.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel, the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. How do you know if you're living your life and not someone else's? Here's one way to find out. First, list out your top five core values. For example, mine are empathy, excellence, passion, service, and core values. Then put those core values into short first-person core value statements. In my case, one, empathy powers my relationships. Two, excellence is the goal in all things I do. Three, passion fuels my perseverance. Four, my value is measured by my service to others. And five, core values drive all of my life decisions. Now ask yourself, am I using my core value statements to drive my personal and professional decisions? Maybe not. Maybe you've never even considered doing so. And that's where life coaching begins. Go to MyTurnLifeCoaching.com and let's put your personal core values into your driver's seat.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lau, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit TrishLaub.com. That's TrishLaub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy Al. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Hey,
everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love this show. And by the way, listen, anytime you have a question, the window is open for you to call in. 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. Because this is really an important conversation. You may be thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute. I'm not in a relationship with now, but I do have two children, and pretty much we've been estranged. Oh, okay. And so this is not just a narrow spectrum that Nancy works with people on. And we're getting close to moving into the holidays. And what if you had some new tools? You know, what if every year you're sick and tired of the turkey? What can you do about that? Can you change it? What can you change about yourself? What can you change about others? But today, exactly how? How do you talk without fighting? And we're not like talking fist fighting things. Fighting can be a whole lot of things. Before we start to get into this and talk, I just love this. We're going to learn about the three-word rule. How do people find out about you? How do they download some of the resources you had? Because they're just amazing to me.
Go to nancylandrum.com, download the free download on the homepage, or watch the video on the homepage, or go to the other pages and look at the books or look at the testimonials. I find couples that actually go to my website before they come to see me, the only thing they want to read are the testimonials. I'm so proud of my testimonials.
They're great.
Yeah, they are great. But the three-word rule, we use the word feel inappropriately. We quite often use, we say, I feel like, or I feel that, and the rest of the sentence is normally an attacking, verbal attack. I feel like you don't like me. I feel like you did it wrong. I feel that you should do this or that. Those are not feelings, they're opinions, and they're attacking opinions. So if I'm going to speak respectfully, then I do speak from my own point of view, which is I think that or I believe. But when you go to feelings, the feelings is where the transformation takes place in the conversation. And the three-word rule is I can only describe feelings using three words. I feel unhappy, I feel dismissed, I feel ignored, I feel unheard, or I feel valued because you just listened to me. And I could see the intention on your face that you wanted to understand my point of view. Brené Brown has a wonderful quote that I just love. I wish I had said it. She said, connection happens when we feel seen, heard, and valued.
Yeah.
And when we feel seen and heard and valued, it's because someone is taking the time to genuinely listen with the intention of understanding where we're coming from. That's the listening skill I teach the couples that I work with. It's more than just hearing the words. Hearing the words is like the surface level of listening. The deeper level of listening is I want to understand why you think the way you think, how you feel, why this is important to you. And this is a genuine desire to understand, to stand in your shoes and understand where you're coming from. When that happens, it's just magic. Magic happens. And the next, you know, point I was going to make is that we all need to go back to kindergarten where hopefully we learn to take turns.
Mm-hmm.
And in conversations, we need to take turns so that I'm speaking your list, but then I turn it over to you and you speak and I listen. The guide of whether real conversation or real communication has taken place or not is that the message I'm sending is identical to the message you're receiving. And the only way I know that is if you will take the time to repeat back to me what you heard me say. And if you got it right, then I've been heard. If you didn't quite get it right, then I have a chance to tweak it, you know, to make a correction. But that takes time and intention and commitment to real communication, not just talking.
Yeah. what you said is so important, and I want to ask you this question. You really do have to, you have to get a sort of reflection back.
Yes.
Especially if, you know, if you're talking about something a little complex. And yet at the same time, we don't do that. You know, we don't do that. And I learned three things about that process. One is give information in smaller pieces, Pat.
Yes.
I'm not the most detailed person in the world, and so 9 times out of 10, I know what's in my brain, but most people don't. Isn't that true in relationships, too, where sometimes we think our partners, our bosses are mind readers?
Well, that's one of the irrational beliefs that's covered in my program. We do a whole module on beliefs. And beliefs that are common beliefs that block a healthy relationship or healthy communication. And that most common belief is, you love me, so you ought to know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You ought to know what I need just because you love me. That is so irrational.
Mm.
You know, there's no way that we can read each other's minds. We can't step into each other's skin and actually absorb all the history and the past experiences that make up my point of view. So, you know, expecting my partner to know what I need without being willing to, well, I've heard people, and I'm sorry to say it's mostly women, that say, if I have to tell you, it doesn't count. That is so irrational.
Yeah.
You know, we're two very different human beings. We've agreed to be in this relationship, whatever the relationship is,
mm-hmm.
you know, boss, employee, or friend to friend, or whatever. But we've agreed to be in this relationship, but that does not mean that I can read your mind
mm-hmm.
or that I actually know what you're thinking or feeling inside
mm-hmm.
about any particular topic.
Go ahead. This is not always easy. And it's not always easy.
No.
We had a situation on Friday with one of our clients, and Jessica, of course, handled it. It was late Friday night. We sent an email out letting client know, nothing back over the weekend, and it just stayed with me the entire weekend. And I knew that when I came in today, I had to be very clear about what the situation was, what we're going to do, what happened, what we can change here so things like that don't happen again. But I had to pick up the phone.
Yes.
And I had to have that conversation today.
Yes.
And I knew that an apology was necessary and that for me, I would be open to hearing what the client said.
Yes.
I wish I could say that you're born with that. I guess some people are born with that, but I got to tell you, Nancy, I've learned it. Can we talk about that part of listening to understand? Because when I picked up the phone later today, and I picked up the phone, I dialed, it went to voicemail, but immediately the client called me back, right? And it was like, I was just getting ready to leave you a voicemail, and then I know you like texts, and I'm so glad I got to talk with you. And out of my mouth was, I'm so sorry for what happened Friday. I tell you that it's just one of the things that is for us not a standard, and I apologize for it, and I'll make sure it doesn't happen again, and I'll make some changes here. Jessica and I talked about it, and now tell me, how are you? How's everything else going? What can we do better? And then I have to listen.
Yeah. Bless your heart, you know, bless your heart for being willing to approach it openly like that. And the only, you know, the only tweak I might put is that sometimes people need to vent their hurt before they're ready to forgive. You know, and you jumped in with an apology quickly, and it sounds like that went very well.
Yeah, because when the client doesn't respond back to your emails, and you get and you know them well enough to know that when I send an email or somebody sends an email, you get a response in an hour, and
right.
when they don't,
right.
then I need to get emotionally ready.
Right.
But I learned that for a lot of reasons. You know, I learned the power of recognizing when I've messed up.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't feel great.
No.
But if you want a relationship to last, if you want a business to thrive, you know, if you want to gain respect of your clients and your coworkers, there are things we have to learn. Can you tell us a little bit about them? And truly, I have to say to you, that was all I said. And then she said the rest. And I listened and I took notes. And then I had to speak with one of my staff members. But
good for you.
That's what I had to do. But
to me, that's the sign of a real leader, Dr. Pat, because you're leading vulnerably. You're leading from your own humanity. You know, you're not trying to force your position on somebody else when you know something went wrong and, you know, the buck stops with you in your organization.
But isn't that true in relationships too, Nancy?
Yes, absolutely. It is so hard to be vulnerable. That's why expressing a feeling versus expressing a thought or an opinion. A thought or an opinion feels more assertive. It feels more powerful. But when you express a feeling, it feels vulnerable. Your guard is down. You're letting someone see your heart. And that's a very vulnerable place, but that is where the magic happens. That is where the magic happens. I can't tell you how many, just last night coaching with this class that I was helping out some friends, I had two different couples I was responsible to coach in just a few minutes, and they were stating an opinion. They were stating something that was true for them, but they had both missed the point. They were not expressing a feeling. And so I made them go to a list of feeling words, which is part of the free download on my website. And I said, pick a feeling that describes what you are experiencing. And one lady fumbled around for a while, and finally she said, I feel victimized when my good friend, you know, tells stories that were only meant for her ears. They weren't meant to be shared. I feel victimized. And she was going to have this talk with her friend as she was practicing, you know, with this coaching assignment. So feelings make us vulnerable, and that's why we resist. In my online course, when I talk about what it feels like to finally express feelings and not just opinions, it's like diving off a high dive. You know, it's scary to stand up there on that high dive and think about diving into that deep pool when you're not used to doing that. You don't really know, am I going to be safe when I land?
Mm. You know, that point you just brought up, I don't know what the term is for it, but I had a realization with that myself. I realized a week ago that there's one thing that I feel really vulnerable about, and what is the language? It's like a hot button, and I had to get in touch with how far back that went, and that is gossip.
Yes.
And so, what do I mean by that? Is I'm talking to you about Mary, and then Mary's talking to me about you, or I'm complaining about you, and you're complaining, and in relationships. Let's just cut across what that is, because that's what your friend, I think, was saying.
Yeah.
Right? That goes so deep. And I learned years ago through experience that gossip and complaining are core issues that can destroy an organization and a relationship.
Yes. It's betrayal. It's that simple. It's a form of betrayal. To have someone that I work with or a friend be talking about me behind my back to someone else, if it's important enough, come to me. Talk to me about it.
that my business does not belong in somebody else's ears. You know, it's a form of betrayal. And I don't trust people who gossip to me about someone else because they'll do it about me. And I have even said, I really don't want to hear this. It's not appropriate for me to hear. So I set a boundary of, you know, this isn't appropriate for me to hear, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think let's just talk about this for a minute because, you know, one thing is I want people to know they can work with you directly. The other thing is, you know, those of us now are starting to get out and speak in public again. And I think you've got one of those coming up, too.
Yes.
One of my favorite topics, because let me tell you who taught me the lesson about that little gossip thing. My stepmom.
Good for her.
My stepmom. But tell us a little bit about where you're going to be speaking. We've got a lot of people listening in California and other places, but you are taking this message out. How does that feel?
I always love teaching. I, you know, whether it's in, you know, with a couple or with a group, I just, the passion of my life is teaching me skills because they transformed my life. They gave me the relationships that I longed for as a child. So the speaking engagement coming up is in Fullerton, California. And the name of the class is the Step Family Blueprint. And it's some of the key strategies that help step families succeed. It's being held at Fullerton Evangelical Free Church on November 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. You can look up the details at their website, which is simply fullertonfree.com. Simple website, fullertonfree.com.
Okay, so all of our Orange County and otherwise L.A. friends out there listening, our California folks, or anybody else that is going to be in the area, you're going to want to hear this conversation because this has been so insightful the many times Nancy and I talked about my stepmom and the many things I learned. So, Nancy, thank you for that. And by the way, go to nancylantern.com if you've missed any part of this. I want to. I know we've got a few minutes left, but I want to go to this place, your quote. I want to go to a quote here because I think, and then I want you to run with it because it's so profoundly important. And it's this. I think this is what you say. Communication has not taken place until the message received is identical to the message sent.
Yes.
That's the end game goal, right?
Yes. That's the end game goal. And the only way you know if your message has been received accurately is if the listener repeats it back to you in their own words so that it has the same meaning that you intended. Mm-hmm. The only way I know I have heard you accurately is if I repeat back to you what I've heard you say. And you say, yeah, you got it. You're hearing me. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to agree with your point of view if we're negotiating something, but it's important as the beginning, the foundation of negotiation is that each party understand where the other is coming from accurately, what their needs are, what their core need is as far as the end result of whatever the negotiation is. When I understand your core need and you understand my core need, then we can brainstorm ideas that will meet both of our needs. And that's the way that a solution lasts, that it works, because it's meeting both of our needs. If the negotiation ends up and you get your way but I don't get mine, then it's not going to work long term. You know, it's going to break down. So that's actually the last module in the course that I teach couples is the problem-solving module where first of all, you have a skilled discussion where you take turns sharing your point of view with the partner and the partner repeats it back until you each understand your core needs before you begin to problem solve. We get into problem solving too soon when we don't understand what the other person really needs.
I have to tell you, I work with the most incredible people. And problem solving is by far, if you know anything about our production team here at all, Jessica, Linda, Jamie, Malia, Benny, Jacob, Chris, who we don't hear from very much. Shahid, our fabulous, you know, Merrick in Poland. And you put us all together. You know, you get to see the dynamics. Now, with that, I've had to also be clear about being clearer about things. Let me ask you this in the few minutes we have left. It's okay to be a work in progress.
Oh, absolutely. Aren't we all?
Yeah. I learn something new every day. I mean, I learned an enormous lesson today about myself. I learned that it bothered me so much about this particular client because I had worked with the client for over 20 hours of my own time. Wow. And then when I added up all the time that our team spent, it came to something like 73 hours.
Wow.
And I felt like I let her down.
Yeah.
And I promised I wouldn't. And so it hit me so hard. It kept me up all weekend. And what I realized is I heard Mary Louise Smith. This is what I heard. Pat, what part of that problem are you? Now, there's no point in me trying to jump in and fix it without hearing. What can we do better? Can you talk in the few minutes we have left about the significance of being understood?
My personal belief is that after air and food and shelter, water, when those needs, those basic physical needs are met, our very next need is to have at least one person in the world who hears and understands who we are at our core, that believes we are good at our core. We can make mistakes, we can flub it up, but the forgiveness is there because that person knows that at my core I'm a good person and they're willing to hear and understand who I am. They get who I am. I just had an experience Sunday. I loved having lunch with a dear friend. We've been friends for, 25 years or so. And she asked a very direct question. And I kind of fumbled for a few minutes and then began to answer her very vulnerably. The question was, how are you and God doing? You know, what's your relationship with God? And, you know, I kind of go back and forth with God. You know, I trust him, trust her, or I doubt and I'm afraid. I kind of go back and forth. So I answered very vulnerably, and it was obvious I was uncomfortable. She sent an email apologizing for asking the question. And we had a Zoom call yesterday where I said, please don't ever again apologize to me for asking any question. You're the kind of friend that can ask the tough questions, and I welcome it. It made me stop and think. I spent, you know, the next couple of days thinking through how I had answered her. And what do I want to change about my side of the relationship with God or the universe, whoever that is, to make it more trusting so that I feel more loved? It was a valuable question, but she's the kind of friend, I told her, you can ask me anything, anytime. But we're lucky if we have one or two people in the world that we can say that to.
Yeah. And I'm very fortunate that I do. I'm very fortunate that I do. And we can change.
Absolutely.
Our behavior of the past. Nancy, thank you for today. Last question, what's your personal message? And also, please give out your website again.
The personal message is love isn't enough. Love thrives on respect. And if you don't know how to give and receive respect, even in the midst of conflict, then your love will suffer. My website is nancylandrum.com.
Thank you so much for this, Nancy. I'm always excited about what you're going to bring forward, but this one right here, this is a powerful tool so that we can learn how not to hurt another and not to hurt ourselves.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. It's always a privilege to be with you.
Yeah, boy. And no, I will not say to any of my folks, what part of the problem are you? That doesn't work for everybody.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative...